What you missed on Midday with Howie Lim on Money FM 89.3.
This is Mind Your Business on Money FM 89.3, where we explore the SME sector here in Singapore. And do also check out sgsme.sg. Our colleagues at the Business Times cover this sector in great detail as well, and all can be found at that website. I'm Howie Lim. Today we speak to Poon Kok Hwa, publishing coach at Candid Creation Publishing. Kok Hwa, thanks so much for joining us today.
Morning. Thank you, Howie.
I think what's perturbing us is publishing coach.
Yep.
That title, instead of, say, publisher with Candid Creation Publishing, right? Maybe you could explain it to us, publishing coach.
Well, it came about actually way back when I first stepped into the industry itself.
Into the publishing industry?
Yeah, into the publishing industry. So for me, it was kind of a mid-career switch. Formerly, I was in the IT industry.
Okay.
In the corporate world. Before I came out, yeah. So then when I look around and I realized that I do need to identify a niche for myself. And most of the time, the perception of a publisher is that it's someone who sits in an ivory tower and waiting for authors to be courted by authors and submit their manuscript. And you pass a final judgment on them that, hey, you pass my judgment and hence I can accept your manuscript. So then I look at it and then I reflect upon my own strength as well. And that's where I find that, hey, actually I'd like to work with people. And that's not probably the kind of publisher work that I'd like to be in, always passing judgment on people. So hence I start to think and I thought, hey, let's change the model a bit. All right. Publishing model.
Right.
So why don't I go out and I allow people to approach me? So I treat my authors as equal. Tell me more about what you want to write. And that's where the role of a coach comes about. Rather than you telling me what is so good about your book, your manuscript, and why I should accept you, I turn the formula around and I start to help them to curate their topic that they want to write. And then finally to extract the best of them and to bring it out into the market in the form of a partnership. And that's why the coaching part is important.
So you're coaching people to become authors?
Yes,
almost.
I do. Yes, I
okay.
do. So I do that through one-to-one coaching. And I also started a two-day workshop back in 2014, where that's more like a group approach. I bring them through a two-day program. And a two-day program is more facilitative in nature, where I would bring them across a 6P framework, which I came about, which I developed after all these years of experience in the publishing trade. So through this 6P framework, then I help aspiring authors to take them from the idea stage where they couldn't quite figure out what they want to do, just an idea stage, all the way until it's ready for the market.
It has to be somebody who's already interested in writing a book?
Actually, no.
Oh. Yep.
Interestingly, I've got participants who...
Before we go into that,
yes.
That's that much harder to do.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be just easier as a publisher with Candid Creation Publishing,
mm-hmm.
which is a publishing company,
that's
right?
That's right.
To just approach people who already want to be authors, who are authors, so to speak, have written something,
yes.
Et cetera, versus, hey, you have a good story, maybe you should write a book.
That's right.
Why
okay.
make life so difficult
okay.
for yourself?
It's quite baffled by what I'm doing. So I think that's a bit in me as well, in the way that I like to meet people, I like to coach people. And having a book is just having another platform, having another tool. It may not be something that people often think about. So if I come across someone with really solid content, solid experience, I often find that it's such a waste if you're not showcasing it and establishing authority using the platform of a book. So then I ask myself, rather than be always staying upstream, how can I go downstream and help these people? And hence, I would say it's very much a kind of personal attribute thing that I like to really go forward and to reach out to people.
But as the advent of technology has taken over and started to infiltrate all aspects of life now, how are you dealing with that? Has Candid Publishing evolved at the same time?
Mm.
I'm not sure the last time I remember when I picked up a physical book to read versus just picking up the device.
Right, sure. So I think you must be referring to the advent of e-books and how it's becoming more popular nowadays. Definitely so. So technology itself has, in a way, disrupted the delivery of content to the market. So there's two different parts, the delivery of content versus the curation of content. Right. So in the past, the delivery of content is always through a printed book, right? So now with technology, ebook comes about. So what do? We adapt. So what we do is that we present our content now in two different forms, one physical and one electronic. So back to the earlier point is that what has not been disrupted is the curation of content, right? And that's where the publisher comes in. Our role since then until now is the same. I often see myself as a gatekeeper of good content. Another disruption that is hitting the industry is, of course, self-publishing services. Yeah, with technology, self-publishing services is very common and easily accessible right now. You just Google and get lots and lots of such players. For them, it's a different business model. They don't really bother what you write and they don't really need to care. You just give them a manuscript, they prepare in the form of a book, and they return back to you. And hence, with the popularity of this service, you start to see that, hey, actually, my neighbor is publishing a book. More and more people are publishing books. And with that, actually, what I see is an opportunity because then more and more non-curated books are now being flooded in the market. Those that really provide good content, has got good substance, will actually now have a better opportunity to stand much, much higher.
But on the flip side, with so many of these books flooding the market, so to speak, right, it's harder for, say, the regular consumer to sift out all of that to find the one with the great content that stands, as you say, heads and shoulders above the rest of it.
That is true.
How then?
Substance itself has to be tested. So very often I tell my authors that the best way to let someone know your book is always through word of mouth. So if you write a lousy book, word of mouth would also spread. If you write a good book, same thing, word of mouth will also spread. And that's how gems are being differentiated from the rest.
But with all creative industries, the onslaught of the digital affects in the aspect of piracy. We've seen it happen with movies and music, etc. And writing a book is also a creative thing.
It is. So I think piracy is not new. Since history, piracy has always happened. Even back in the days when we just had physical book, piracy happens, right? People photocopy your book and people do all sorts of things with the book, with or without your knowledge. So for me, piracy itself is something that is happening. It's a situation that is happening. What differs is our response to it. All right. So there's two ways you can look at it. Because of ebooks, then of course, content are much more readily available over the internet right now. So
easier to pirate.
Or
copyright infringement, let's call that.
That is true.
Yeah.
So the so-called hard way is that we have to do things like digital rights management, DRM. So rather than putting up your ebook onto your website, you sell a copy and someone start to email and to share this same copy with other readers. We sell ebooks through authorized stores. So authorized stores, they have their own DRM mechanism to ensure that the book that is downloaded into your device stays within the device. It's not like a file that you can just forward to one another. So that's one way. The other way is, of course, I think as authors, we do need to reframe our mind. Yep. If you look at content as being shared and creating more outreach, and you're being able to touch more people, then, why not? Why not? And seriously, content itself on the internet is rampant. So you get lots of people writing all sorts of things, teaching you all sorts of things, be it through blog articles or through video or through podcasts. There's actually a lot of content on the internet already. Yeah. And for them to pick up your work, and to read it and find that it would benefit them, let's look at it the other way. We are helping another person.
A lot's been said about how perhaps people's attention spans have shortened over time because of, like you mentioned, there are videos and there are just so much information out there for people to absorb. They're also finding it more difficult to go through pages and pages of things to even read a book.
Right.
How are you dealing with that challenge?
Right. Okay, so interestingly,
write shorter books.
That could be one way. So interestingly, if we look at statistics, US and the UK are the biggest book market in the world. For the past 2 years, the sales of ebooks, electronic books, has been dropping. And conversely, the sales of printed books has gone up. And when the analysts start to analyze what actually happened, they realize that some people actually ditching ebooks because of screen fatigue. Like exactly what you have mentioned earlier. There are so much videos.
So it's much perhaps the screen content. Fatigue that is contributing to the shorter attention span.
One of
not
the factors.
Not the, I just don't want to read a book.
That is correct.
Okay.
And that actually drove them back to printed books.
Right.
Yeah, interestingly, studies have already shown that.
So again, life is cyclical. Things
it
will
is.
Go around, a bit like fashion. Recent online copyright infringement research conducted by Kantar Media says about 4 million or 17% of e-books are read through the online piracy. We touched a little bit on that.
Yes.
So your thoughts, you have a controversial view.
Yes, indeed.
Why not? Just go with it as long as it gets out there, the information.
Yes, I mean, it's happening anyway and it's really beyond our ability to really go after every single one of them. And how much resource and attention do you want to pay to this small part of piracy? Why not we focus on the bigger part? People who are really paying for your content. Yeah, so my advice is don't lose sleep over it.
What sort of skills, though, are needed to be a publisher? I know yours is a little blurred. If you had to nail it down, what sort of skills does a publisher need?
I think if you don't look at me as a standard example of a publisher, right?
Too bad, you're sitting in front of me, I'm going to ask you.
Yeah, like what you mentioned, I do dabble in different things in a way to disrupt myself. If you look at the traditional role of a publisher, I think one of the key thing is people skills. People skills, because as a publisher, you do need to interface with lots of people. Not just the authors that come to you, but you're actually managing a large team of professionals who offer different aspects of services in order to put a book together, from editors to your designers to your rights manager to your marketers, etc. So you realize that the publisher is really at the center of this and being able to make things work within a defined timeline. And hence, as a publisher, you do need to have good project management skills as well to ensure that, whatever you take in goes out in time. So I think people skills, project management skills, these are essential for someone who wish to be in this role as a publisher.
I don't hear anything about language skills.
Okay. Language skills is important, right? But as a publisher, it's more like a supervisory role. So more often than not, if you have the right team of people backing you up, you should be able to rely on them to do that part of the work. Yeah.
Is the publishing industry also facing the same sort of challenges as other industries do with talent retention, talent development?
Personally, no, right? Because I think there are courses in the institutions that supply talents in the aspect. So typically, if you are in a mass comm or you have a major in English lit, these are possible prerequisites to enter the industry itself. And for us, we often get lots of job inquiries. So we don't really feel it. And being in the trade itself actually takes some form of passion and interest. So for them to really want to come in, they will already feel that, hey, words are actually running in their blood and it's something that they want to explore rather than be in the banking industry or advertising industry, where they probably can get a decent work and decent pay, but probably not as happy.
Kok Hwa is publishing coach at Candid Creation Publishing. Check out their great works at candidcreation.com. That's CANDIDCREATION.com. Poon Kok Hwa, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Howie.